Okay, so really, the last few times I came, you asked me to say Zera Shimshin, and sadly to say, it was like Derech Agav, when Shirley told me, don't worry about it. I didn't worry about it, and then I felt a little stupid that I didn't say it. So this time we'll start with Zera Shimshin, and I'll work out hopefully with the rest of everything else of a wild idea that I came up with today, actually. So I thank you guys, because I probably wasn't given this otherwise. So we have, in this week's Parsha, at the end of the Parsha, a very cryptic story, that Miriam says something, Rachleik is exactly about Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen is there at the time, whatever he's doing there. And then Miriam, Hashem comes down and tells him to go away. And then Miriam becomes a tzaras probably. And then Aaron HaKohen tells Moshe Rabbeinu Davin. And Moshe Rabbeinu has a tefillah. And his tefillah is five words. Kel na rafana lo. And he davins for her, and then something good seems to happen. Exactly what occurs. Everything I just said probably has 19 different interpretations on literally every single word I just said. But the Gemara says on Tzamach Zayin and Shabbos, a fascinating idea, and it's in Hilchas Metzora, and it says that what's supposed to happen is a person who's going through something is supposed to be Mefars Mitarabim. So here it says, it's a Pasuk in Vayikra, it says, V'tomei Tomei Yikra. Tomei Tomei Yikra says, Tzorech L'haydioi Tzarei L'rabim. A person, not only the article's words are, should say their, what's Tzarei? Whatever, their hardships, I guess. Their hardships for Rabim. Why? V'rabim yivakshu alav rachim. In order for the people, outside people, to daven. Now this Gemara might seem to be all types of hardships, but the Zeresh Shimshon says, and others, but the Thursday night Zeresh Shimshon, the Zeresh Shimshon in Parshas Metzora says that it only applies to Metzora. And he says, why? He says, because we have two Lashonis in Metzora we'll get to in a minute. There's something called the Metzora Muskar, and something called Metzora Muchlet, and Metzora is one of the most difficult subjects in the world, so we're not going to go through all the details. But Bekitz and Nimritz, the word Miskar means closed off, when you're in doubt. We're not sure exactly the situation, so we lock them up. Muskar means to lock them up. And Muchlet means an Achlat, that means like a decision is made. So Metzora Muskar, Metzora Muchlet, they're locked up in doubt or locked up as Metzora. Some of the Gemara talk about different halachas that happens between the two. And in this situation, the Metzora, the Zeresh Shimshon wants to say, he is incapable of davening for himself. A muskar, he learns the word muskar means close. I mean, that's a good Taitch word. Sagar means to close. The Metzora's avenue of davening for himself is closed off. And therefore, Dafka Metzora has to ask other people to daven for him. Metzora has no option to daven for himself. Are you going to extend this to other people? Because it's a vague terminology here. It says, it's going on a pasuk of Metzora, but maybe you could say, Hadil Rabim Mevakshim could be anything. Guy's having any type of hardship going on in his life. Any type of health issue, monetary issue, kids, or whatever it is. You could say someone else davening might be better, and there are many Gemaras that seem to say that. But the Zeresh Shimshon, among others, he learns know that this is a concept limited to Metzora, that the Metzora is supposed to be Mevakash from others to daven for them, because the Metzora is called a Hesker. Even before the Mukhlat, that means a Safik Metzora is a Hesker, it's closed off, the avenues for Tefillah are closed off, and therefore they're incapable of davening. Ayin Zeresh Shimshon, I was Yaitzim Achiev, but it's going to be related to the rest of it. So now we have fascinating Gemara and Psukim here. So what happens is, last week Zeresh Shimshon, I didn't bring it here, I brought one, I have a couple of the others. Very interesting thing, that we know that at the end of Parsha, at the end of the Shiras Hayam in Parshas Beshalach, the end of Shiras Hayam, it says that Miriam Hanaviyah did her own song and dance. And it calls her not Miriam Hanaviyah, I call Miriam Hanaviyah. It calls her Miriam, who? Achais Aaron, the brother of Aaron. Right away on Rashi, Gemara, asks Kash, what are you, Achais Aaron? She had two brothers. First of all, who cares? That's first of all, who cares if she is? Who cares if her brother at all? And then if you're going to say brothers, she has two brothers, why say one brother? So Rashi cryptically says, Aaron was Moisa Nefesh for Miriam. Since Aaron was Moshe Nefesh for Miriam, he gets called when she does something impressive. Oh, who's the one who was Moshe Nefesh? We say Aaron. Aaron Moshe Nefesh for Miriam. Therefore, he gets called her brother when it's important. You know, offhand, the story about Aaron was Moshe Nefesh for Miriam? Not sure. So, some want to say that it's in this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, I quote this from Reuben Melamed, who obviously passed away with our kids, our MS. He says that in this week's Parsha, when Aaron HaKohen, the story goes like this. This is Perikir Beis. They spoke something about Moshe. I go through the details. Then Hashem came and passed down and says, he says until three of them, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, say, go away. They go away. Akadosh Baruch Hu starts praising him. And then this is going on. The cloud went away. That's all basic. Pasuk Yidal says, "Vayoyim Aaron al Moshe bi Adoni al Matoshes Aleinu Chatzas." The famous pasuk. Aaron HaKohen asked his older brother, "Do me a favor and daven." Do me a favor and daven. And therefore, it says that when you go to your older brother and you mevakish, I need you for her. That's called Mesiris Nefesh. That's called Mesiris Nefesh. Asking someone for a favor. Your younger brother asking your older brother for a favor. That's called Mesiris Nefesh. Because that's called Mesiris Nefesh, the Torah, much earlier, refers to Miriam as what? A Chos Aaron. That's how choshev this is. So I saw a wild kasha. I think it's a wild kasha. Klichemda. The Klichemda asked the kasha, and he says that when you read through the story, so what happens after Aaron does it? We said before. Aaron asks Moshe Rabbeinu, "Bi Adonai Al Natash Lo Nechatas." Al Natikameis gives the whole psukim, two psukim here. And then Pasuk Yagimel says, "Vayitzak Moshe Hashem, Moshe davened." It's a okadek davening. Lema, the same thing, five words, Kal Narafon Allah. So the Klichemda is a very simple kasha. And we're going to extend it because it is Erev Shimshon. The Klichemda asked, Moshe Rabbeinu was the way you read the Torah. It appears that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to daven without Aaron HaKohen asking him to daven. Aaron HaKohen was Moshe Nefesh, I'm adding on. Klichemda is not saying that, but we're just embellishing it because it's better. The Klichemda, the Aaron HaKohen was Moshe Nefesh at this time. And we know as well that Tama Yikri, you're supposed to mevakash other people, they're supposed to daven you, because Miriam was incapable, according to almost everybody, maybe only Taras, but Zichat Saras, Miriam had Saras, and she was incapable of davening for herself. That's what we said, from the Zerah Shimshon, the Lashon of Sagar is closed off from davening. So Moshe Rabbeinu had a daven. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to daven for someone else, not Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone. Because the Lashon of the Gemara said was, all people are supposed to daven for the guy with Saras. So if all people are supposed to daven for the guy with Saras, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing until now? Klichem Deskasha. Only Aaron occurring according to Pesukim Torah. Again, you have to know that Klichem is reading it. It's a wild kasha. It means only when Aaron occurring requested, begged, beseeched Moshe Nefesh to his brother and said, "Please daven for our sister," did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Why didn't Aaron come down himself? Yes. Well, Aaron HaKohen might have been in the situation. That's what I'm like. So what was Aaron's situation? But yes. So Aaron HaKohen, but your kasha not diminishing the Klichemda's kasha. You're saying Aaron HaKohen, don't only ask Moshe, but Moshe, what are you doing here wrong? So you frack the Klichemda. The Klichemda has a teretz like this. Hopefully, the Klichemda is Klichemda, so whatever I say, just in the Lashon of Sprach of how we talk and learning. But hopefully you can come up with the obvious kasha on the Klichemda. The Klichemda answers like this. Klichemda says that we know a fascinating halacha. We don't know Hilchos Nagoyim. Why? Because if you're learning Shas, Daf Yomi, we skip Mishnayos Nagoyim. And the few times you got to do it in Shas, you're trying to skip it as well. Because Hilchos Nagoyim is a very, very difficult sugya. How does Hilchos Nagoyim work? Hilchos Nagoyim works, we spoke about, I think, once before here. I'm not sure. That the Kohen is the one who has to say Tamei, and the Kohen is the one who has to say Tar. Which means, in a classic example, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kula Amaleka de Pelog, he's Galadar. He knew Hilchos Nagoyim, obviously. And Rav Moshe Feinstein sees someone with a Nega. He can't do anything about it. Nothing. Can't make the... You're not even considered a Tzaras until someone says Tamei. Even if everyone knows that the mark on the hand is Tzaras, everyone knows it's the most basic case, not that we know it, but the most basic mission around is for sure Tzaras, they're not called a Tzara until the Kohen comes. How old of a Kayan? 13-year-old boy. According to some, long mechasenach, maybe a 12-year-old girl. So imagine this, Rav Moshe is walking down the street, you see someone taras. There might be, not for tonight, there might be a mitzvah to announce the taras. Might be. It means you could walk around, you're not a batzayra, you're walking around with the taras, you could decide to hide from the Kayan. You could be hide and seek, you'll never go through the whole system. Might be violating a mitzvah, but maybe not. So you're hiding around, but Rav Moshe holds it's a mitzvah in this case. And he sees you with this rat, says, "Listen, I gotta stop this guy. You're running around, you're violating him." It's an essay. What do you do? Rav Moshe says, "I can't do anything, I'm sorry. My hands are tired. But I'll have this 12-year-old girl do something." The 12-year-old girl doesn't know anything. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't have to know anything. That's the galus. The 12-year-old girl only has to repeat the words Rav Moshe says. She trusts Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe says, "Say the word Tame." Says the word Tame. Machloik is how much she even has to know. Does she have to know what the word Tame even means? Not for now. But bare minimum, she has to know, let's say, right? So a 12-year-old girl, 13-year-old boy is gonna make the guy Tame, otherwise nothing. Because the Kayan has to do it. And the same thing in reverse. Let's say the girl, the boy sent out of the camp, real Mitzaras, they got the whole thing, and then it disappears. Skin clears up 100%. You know what happens? Nothing. They can't come back to the camp. They're stuck there 7 days. Let's say 7 days, now what? Nothing. Until what? A Kayan, maybe Lechachila, the same Kayan, has to come back and say the same thing. So you need a Kayan to say, you are Tame, Kayan to say, you are Tar. So the Klichemda says that when the Alachas were given in the Torah, that a Kayan has to say it, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the only way you're supposed to include in the Gemara that says you're supposed to daven for somebody also needs a kohen. Klichemda's teretz. Klichemda's akasha. Vos epis. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't daven for his own sister until Aaron HaKohen said, please daven for her. So he says, that's a very simple terrace. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was under the impression that there's no such thing as a Kohen, as anyone davening unless you're the original Kohen. The Kohen's got to start the process. So when the Kohen tells you, daven, that's good enough. Maybe the Kohen is davening himself. You're kosher with Aaron HaKohen. But the Kohen can tell you somebody else. But until the Kohen tells you, you have to daven, please daven, irrelevant. It's a little, you know, yeah. The Kenyan Torah, that's his name, I've got his first name, Horowitz. Kenyan HaTorah, Rev Horowitz. He was in Strasbourg. He asked the Kashi, he said, what do you mean? When it says a Kohen has to do it, it means the halachas, right? It doesn't mean tefillah, mechatez tefillah. Why would Moshe Rabbeinu even think that? Pasha, we don't hold this way today. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought this what? So he says maybe the Klichem meant that until Aaron HaKohen asked Moshe Rabbeinu, at that moment in time, the halacha changed. Which means until, it's wild. That means Aaron HaKohen had a psak halacha that no one is supposed to daven for the chayla. Gemara, open Gemara, Tama Yikra, everyone should daven for him. No, no one davens until the first Kohen in history will request that from now on, everyone should daven. Azoy Zakta Klichemda, Ayin Shem B'dvarav Nifloyim, as they say. But Baruch Shem, today I came with maybe a couple different terutzim. And I thank you guys. So there's an interesting thing here. We'll go with this answer first. When the Gemara discusses who was the Kohen B'Shas Maisa.
It could be similar to, like, a chit, Kohen Moichum B'Balik M'Chapin, that part of Kapar of a chit is that, so, like, you need
Kohen
to be involved.
Maybe. Again, it's all the initial theory. Because nowadays we don't think that, right? There's no halacha brought down in the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, or Gemara that says that only the Kohen has to start the process. So you're saying, everything you're saying now will be I think Klichem Dorol, according to that first time. Do you want to drink it? It's because I want to continue eating before I make a bracha.
Wasn't Moshe a Kohen too?
The Gemara discusses, in Zvachim, Kuf Beis Amar Aleph, 102a, discusses what Aaron's job was and Moshe's job. Were they both siblings? Were they both Kahanim? That's this Gemara we're going to mention in a second. So, we're not mentioning that part of the Gemara.
I don't know if there's kids, but if he did it himself.
Correct. There's a problem with siblings. So why should Aaron be a sibling? Moshe be a sibling? Who's a sibling? Garrett Cotton, we believe that at Har Sinai everyone became ice siblings. And that's long arichas, the easiest place to find it would be, let's say, the Agdama to the Shev Shmaita. We're not going down that road. We're going on a different phrase here. And it says, the Gemara's Kashmi, yes, yeah. The Gemara says, Meisve, end of 101b, Meisve Miriam Mi Hiskira. Who confined her? And then it has a problem. Yeah. Moshe was not a Kohen, Aaron maybe he's a sibling, and it goes, and it finally says, unbelievable. Ella covered Godol Chalak LaKadosh Baruch Hu Miriam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave covered, this is called covered, by the way, covered to Miriam, Oysa Shon that hour. Why? And it says, Hashem said these words, I'm a Kohen, other Gemara's might prove that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shem a Kohen, V'ani Maskira, I'm going to be Soiger her, V'ani Cholta, I'm going to, here it says, confirm her, V'ani Paitra, and I'm going to release her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do it. I'm going to be maskir her, I'm going to be machlet her. Mashar, by the way, has a kasha. There's no such thing. You're either masker or yechaylet. You're not both. You're either, what did he say before? Hasgara is someone in doubt. You're masker, the mitzvah musker is someone in doubt. We don't know yet. So we put you away for a week, we figure it out. A muchlot is the game over. You can't be ani masker, but ani muchlet. It doesn't work. Mashar's kasha. Mashar's his own teretz, whatever it says. I saw this morning, Mashar, the Oscar, the Farish Oscar, when it has this square parentheses, I think it means that they're own people. That's what someone told me. Miriam was sent outside the camp for only 7 days. Hey, first of all, let's read the first. If the Kohen finds certain symptoms of ras present in the victim, but other symptoms lacking, he declares the victim, confined. The material is isolated, observed. I'm skipping words, but it's fine. If initially upon reevaluation the Kohen's condition becomes definite, then it's called muchlat. Difference is look elsewhere. Hence, she could not have been both a confined mitzvah and a confirmed mitzvah. Akasha. The price which mentions both presumably means that she was given either one of the designations. Oscar square parentheses. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh on this week's parasha, long arichas toward the end, it says that Miriam was never a mitzvah. Imagine that. You read a chumash? Yeah, you read it wrong. Miriam's never a mitzvah. Just in case you're wondering, the Malbim, there's a steer in the Malbim, but the Malbim in Devarim where it says, always remember Miriam, says the same part. Miriam was never a mitzvah. What was she? She had dinei menuda. That means when you look through in the Masechta Mayakotin, the end of the Gemara, it has a lot of things that are compared. Someone in Chayrim is like has a lot of halacha similar to Mitzara. So we call it a Mitzara in the Torah, but she was not a Mitzara. She was a Chayrim. Okay, so we have either she was in Chayrim, or a Chayim HaKadosh, Or we have mochel, or we have muskel. Gemara seems to say, we're not sure what it was. So avakasha. Maybe when you're davening for someone, you have to be specific about what you're davening for. Not when you're davening for a bracha. When you're davening for a bracha, be vague, like Karish bracha, figure it out. Don't say, I want to win the lottery. Say, give me the money. Lottery, the other way. If you, but when it comes to a choyla, there's a possibility that has to be a very specific halacha. So, and now Merchman says, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not davening for Miriam. Pasha kapshute, simple pshat. I don't know what the situation is. So when you tell me, Aaron, you know who decides the situation? Aaron's going to decide the situation. Are you a mukhlet? Are you a muskur? Or a rechaim kodesh last malam? Maybe not. Maybe nothing. Maybe menuda. I'm not saying it's nothing. But negated is nothing. Menuda. So Moshe Ben was sitting around, he was waiting, decide what it should be. And then Aaron Kohen came over. And within, you have to figure out, there's the only problem I've shot here. Within the words of the Pesukim, when Aaron Kohen is telling Moshe Ben, please daven for them, within those words means he was giving you the answer. Moshe Ben, the answer what you're supposed to daven for. So answer number one is going to be very, based on the Gemara saying it has two lashonos here. Muskar or Mukhlet. And it seems to say that Arachayim Kachar is Menudah. So I'm saying in Halacha de Kadim, that when it comes to davening for someone, no one can daven. No, Klichem, that's a good kasha. Why did Moshe Benu not daven on his own until Aaron HaKohen asked him to daven? Answer is going to be in Hilchas Tefila, Pasha Hilchas Tefila. What type of Tefila am I davening? Am I davening a Tefila that's called a Tzarastika Tefila? Or am I davening a that would have two options, by the way, Muskar or Mukhlet? Or am I davening a Menudah de Kadavening? Okay, that would be answer approach number one potentially. But the Gemara is another interesting halacha with this. When it says a five-word answer, greatest prayer of all time, Kel, no, Rafa, no, la, five words. When you only have a five-word tefillah, you're missing a lot of words. There's only five words. And the Gemara analyzes what's missing. And the Gemara in Brachas, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, Gemara Brachas Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph says, you know what you're missing? You're missing the name of the victim. It doesn't say, Kel, no, Rafa, no, Miriam. It says, Kel na rafa na la. The Gemara in Bracha says openly that when you daven for a chayla, you're not to say the name of the chayla. Magen Avraham has many Gemaras that say that can't be true. Magen Avraham says, Ken is nine. So the Magen Avraham comes up with his own teretz. Can't argue the Gemara. The Gemara says, don't use the name. He's not arguing Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham is limiting that. The Gemara says, you know what it says? Don't use the name? Bifanov. When you're sitting in front of the mace, by the way, when it says, don't say the name, the word don't can mean two things. In English, I think it's not as good. Is it don't mean you don't have to, or don't mean you shouldn't? They're showing them over there debate. What does it say, don't use the name of the chayla? Don't have to or shouldn't? Many say shouldn't. Why? Because there's a negative connotation applied to the name. Let's say Chassam Seifer. Chassam Seifer says very easy. That when someone is given a nebuchadnezzar, a gzeira to be sick, the gezeira is written on the name of the person. Pliny bas Pliny should be sick. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets up the system. So what happens is, when you want to heal that person, you want to daven for them, by saying the name, you're reminding the person of the gezeira. So when you say, please Hashem heal, Pliny bas Pliny, Pliny bas Pliny, that's the one that the gezeira is on. So therefore, in order to avoid that issue, it's better not to say the name. That's why you don't want to say the name. There are times you don't have no choice. Magen Avraham says, you know you have no choice? When you're sitting in a hospital in front of the guy who's sick, in front of the girl who's sick, don't say the name. It's right here. You're standing right there. Rifan Allah, right here. But when you're in your hopetzville, in your house, then you have to say the name, because who are you going on? So Magen Avraham says, he has Allah Lamaisa on this Gemara. The Gemara says, never say the name. Magen Avraham says, no, never say the name. Maybe shouldn't say the name. He doesn't go into that. Other people do. Maybe shouldn't say the name, but then shouldn't say, never say, he's only going, Bifnei the Mace. Bifnei the Chayla. But if you're removed, you should. Halacha l'maisa comes out of practical serious difference. Because if you hold that you should not say the name, and you should not say the name, why? Because it's negative. Then guess what? You now have an obligation to visit the sick. We have a question. Should I visit the sick or call on the telephone? Famous kasha asked Rav Moshe, and then it was asked to everyone of that generation. Rav Yosef, Tzitzel, yes. All have this shadow. Are you yoytze the mitzvah of Bika Chaylam by visiting the sick? The question of what the mitzvah? What is the mitzvah of Bika Chaylam? Why is there a mitzvah of bikachayla? So the Rambam says, fascinatingly, the Rambam says, when Hilchas bikachayla, you're supposed to go to the person, see what's going on, and then daven for them. And some understand the Rambam, it's not a storybook, that if you don't daven for the person, not yet to the mitzvah. Imagine what the thing. You travel 2.5 hours, you had to get COVID the old days and wear a mask and sneak in under a hospital gown, right? And you get no mitzvah, you didn't daven. But if part of the mitzvah is to daven for the chayla, and now we're saying that lechatchila, whatever word you want to use, You're supposed to be in front of the chayla. Why? Because the chayla, you don't say the name when you're in front of the chayla. It could be when you're going on the telephone, according to that reason, you might not be here to the mitzvah. There are other reasons why there might be a mitzvah. I think they say it from Rabbi Levine. I don't know if it was Halach Lemaiser. Rabbi Levine held the inyan of being vaka chayla is because people have beteva, nurses and doctors, and when they see that nobody cares about a person, they right away machavek. They pull the plug a little fast, as they say. They mix up the medicines a little quicker, depending on what insurance pays more out of. Hopefully there are no doctors in the room here. But that's what it says. Rabbi Levine and the Chazon Ish have stories where I used to go to people in the hospital and say I'm related to them. Even though they held you not a lie, they'll just put the fascists. Mom, put the fascists, you're not a lie. Because the mitzvah is to go there. So then you have to think about it. You have to know your own local doctors. By calling on the phone, could be that the doctors get a little more concerned. They're not a nobody left alone. People are calling. It would mean you have to call and the doctor know about it. Can't call through a cell phone. Call the private cell phone, doctors, unless you hold call when the nurses are inside the room. But someone left alone as a Galmud, as a Baidadim, it could. Now, the scientists will tell you that the Baidadim die faster because they have no friends. So they may well die faster. But in Jewish law, we say no. We don't have the same respect for the doctors that other people have. But anyway, I'm not going to that thing. So we have a kasha now. Halach lamai is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, when you're in front of the mace, chayla, said the same mistake before, you're in front of the chayla, you do not say the name. When you're outside the room, avad, you got to say the name. Now goes a bomb question. I don't even know, I don't have a good answer, because I don't know how to read this. Was Miriam in front of Moshe or not? I read you the Pesukim here. It says in Pasuk Aleph, this thing I'm about to tell you is from the Sefer Fraska de Anya. This question I'm about to ask him. So the Kasha, it was like, wow, that's really good. And sometimes you realize we don't learn Chumash Rashi well enough. Pasuk Aleph, Vatadaber, Miriam, Va'arim, Va'moshe. That's the first thing. Then there's the Ish Moshe, Anamoyd, whatever it is. Pasuk Dalet, Va'yoyim Hashem, El Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, clearly they're near each other, Slu Shlosh Lechem Aloyamoyd, Va'yetu Shlosh. All three leave the Aloyamoyd, all three leave. Pretty clear. They're still together, no? I think so. Vayered Hashem ba'amadam, and now Hashem come down. V'yam pesach oil. Vayikra, Aaron and Miriam. He called for Aaron and Miriam. Vayetu shneim. How do you understand Vayetu shneim now? Because later on, no other movements as far as I could see. Now there's a drasha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says Vayetu shneim, and he says, Vayoyimah shimuno devarei. Rashi says in Pasuk Hey, why did he tell him to leave? So Rashi said, b'vnei ma, moshchan v'refidim emoshim. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell three go out and then two go out further? What's happens? Rashi, lefi she'omrim miktsa shvachoi shaladim b'fanav, v'kuloi shalai b'fanav. So since he wanted to say something about Moshe, nice, didn't want to say it in front of Moshe. So if you read Rashi simply, what does that mean? I think it means that what? They were removed, Moshe couldn't hear it. Because it has to be what's called, the same word, b'fanav. Moshe was not b'fanav. He moved out. Let's have a simple kasha. Moshe was not b'fanav. Let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara said, that the fact is not my kasha. The Gemara says, from the fact that it says, Vayoyimah Meshal Hashem, this is Vayitzak. Vayitzak Meshal Hashem Lamer, Kel na Rafa na La. Gemara says, you know what you're missing? You're missing the name of Miriam. Never say the name. Magen Avraham comes along and says, No. No, never say the name when you're in front of the Chayla. Got it right. When you're in front of the Chayla, never say the name. But when you walk away from the Chayla, why do you got to say the name? Magen Avraham, 1600s. How's Magen Avraham reading the Pesukim? I don't have an answer. Not a good one. I saw a few answers, but it's not so clear. So let's start over. We got a little recap. I think it's around 10:30 still, right? The recap goes like this. We have the Kli Chem, this Baam Kasha. We have the Zera Shemshon Baruch Hashem. I want to get that credit for that. The Zera Shemshon that says a Metzayra cannot, has no power, no ability to daven for themselves. And therefore the Gemara says, when the Gemara in Shabbos Samach Zayin says that you're supposed to be Makra, Tama Yikra, because the Metzayra can't daven for themselves. Everyone else is daven for the Metzayra. The Metzayra's mouth is incapable of being used. You can come by every Musa Shmuz, right? Lashon Hara, whatever it is, they can't daven for themselves. Everyone else must daven for the Metzayra. Kli Chem does a Baam Kasha. We don't see Moshe Rabbeinu davening until Aaron asked him to daven. Vasepis. There's Gemara that says everyone should daven for the Mitzrayim. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu not davening? Kli Chem does answer Dvarim Nefloyim. That what? Moshe Rabbeinu was under the impression that, or he was right until that time in history, that he was not allowed to daven until Aaron HaKohen gave him permission. Aaron HaKohen gave him permission. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait for Aaron. And then we ourselves came up with potentially two answers. One is Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't daven. He didn't know what was wrong. Was she a Menuda? Was she a Mitzrayim Hesker? Was she a Mitzrayim Muchlet? Don't know. Got to wait for the information. Aaron, give me the information. As soon as you hand me a piece of paper with the details, I'll daven. Answer number two. Answer number three is going to be potentially, Moshe Rabbeinu had to know, where is she? Aaron HaKohen, I'm in behind the cloud. You're behind the cloud. I don't know what's going on. Just tell me the details of what's going on. It's a nice word, but the problem is then you got to figure out. Because the Gemara says, Kelner fall in the low, which means it's considered befunov, but the Chumash seems to say it's not befunov. Shkoyach for paying attention to the Torah as well as the stories.